as runners, you know, frequently have these sugars, right? They have the gels, they have the brownies, they have the chocolates. The frequency, the saliva doesn't get time to buffer that away. So the acidic nature is created and the saliva doesn't have time to kind of make it neutral again. So the cavities keep forming, and as you know, the saliva is also reduced because of dehydration and also because of mouth breathing.
Welcome to Tracking Dirt. I'm your host Shatish, and I'm here to talk about trail running. At Tracking Dirt, we take a look at trail running from scientific, technical, social, and business perspectives. A bit about me. I've been running trails, mountains, and ultra distances for over 5 years. I'm also one of the co-founders of Capital Trails Running Club, where we are building a trail running community and introducing people to self-sufficient and ethical trail running. Tracking Dirt is part of Capital Trails Online and is created and produced in-house. Head over to capitaltrails.in to learn more about who we are, what we do, and make sure you join us, follow us, and the likes on social media. I'll be listing all the useful links in the show notes. I hope you enjoy Tracking Dirt and find something useful that helps you understand trail running, nature, society, and the great outdoors a bit more. And if we do end up using some bad language here and there in this episode, I apologize in advance. Let's start Tracking Dirt. On today's episode, we're going to talk about something pretty unusual when it comes to trail running. We're going to talk about oral health and how that affects endurance activities, or rather how endurance activities affect oral health. And this should be applicable to anyone who runs trails, ultra marathons, and maybe this will be applicable even to anyone who runs marathons or shorter distances like a half marathon or a 10K and stuff, right? And for this, I have a very awesome, very special guest, Dr. Manav Kalra. Dr. Manav is a prosthodontist and he's a certified digital smile designer. Right? So while I'll let him take the stage and introduce himself in detail on what he does and what these things mean. But all I can say is that he's an artist with your teeth. Right? All right, Dr. Manav, over to you.
Hi, guys. Hi, Shitij. And thank you for having me on. I really, really like what you're doing. All of this, not just this, your Capital Trails and then you know, your podcast and all the other things that you're doing alongside your running and, you know, especially the trails and everything. So I am extremely honored to be a part of all of this. And obviously, you're closely associated with my coach, Nakul. And I think he was your previous guest. So I am just so happy to be around this energy that you guys have created. So with that, I'll give you a small introduction. I'm a dentist and I specialize in something called prosthodontics, which basically means artificial things like prosthetics. It comes from the word prosthetics. So crowns, bridges, implants, dentures, veneers, and like you said, smile design. And I've been practicing for just over 10 years. And for the last 5 years, I've also been a runner. And therefore, you know, I have been around a bunch of you crazy ultra runners and people who run day and night. So, you know, 100K, 200K, all of these things. So I got to see what that does potentially to the teeth and to the oral environment. So I'm happy to talk about that today.
Awesome. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Tracking Dirt. And thanks for the words. Yeah, we're trying to do something. We're trying to educate more people. We're trying to get more people outdoors, and yeah, just taking our small steps in getting that done, right? All right, so let's start with a very, very basic question, and it could even be a very stupid question, but just humor me, just humor us. Why is oral health important?
Well, it's a part of your body, and it's a very specialized part of your body because it has something called teeth in it. And one of the craziest things about teeth is that they are not self-repairing. Once you lose enamel, you lose enamel, and it can only be replaced. And thanks to modern dentistry, there are a bunch of ways to replace them. And you know, it's the gateway to your gut. It's the gateway to your entire body. So it affects, every part of your body. I mean, you have bad oral health. It affects your gut, it affects your digestion, It can lead to heart disease, endocarditis. It can lead to cardiovascular diseases and a whole bunch of other things. So it's super important to take care of your teeth. And you see people living a lot longer now. So they need their teeth in the mouth a lot longer. And when you start losing your teeth, it's such a slow process of losing quality nutrition in your body. And your aging just starts becoming that much faster. And unfortunately, I have seen that time and again, but it's such a slow process. It's like the analogy of the frog in the water that you slowly bring up to boil and it doesn't find out. It's a very slow decline. And as people live a lot longer and life expectancy has gone up, this taking care of your teeth has become so much more important.
Yeah, I think what I take away from this is that, as an endurance athlete myself, as a runner, the fact that the quality of nutrition is going to really go down if I don't have good oral health, oral hygiene, and the fact that unlike my muscles, they just can't grow back, right? If these two points don't make people pay more attention to oral health, especially endurance athletes, I don't know what will, right? So we will get into the science of everything, but generally so how do endurance sport activities impact oral hygiene and oral health?
Well, endurance, I like to make an analogy between what we see in children with our endurance runners. Okay, so what do children do? Children who are not listening to their parents. They eat a lot of sweets and they eat it a lot of times in a day. Now, the first thing to understand, and here, Kshitij, we can get super technical if you want. So children eat a lot of sugars and they eat it throughout the day. Okay, so that keeps the pH. So we'll talk about pH and saliva and how that works. But basically, more amount of sugars that you eat, the higher chance that you're going to get cavities. The second thing is that if you're adding to that by reducing the amount of saliva in your mouth while you're running, that happens for two reasons. One, primarily because you are mouth breathing. So mouth breathing is a significant risk factor for cavities and gum disease. So we see that in mouth breathers in children and in adults. Right, mouth breathers, people who sleep with their mouth open or have some kind of a nasal congestion, they have a much higher caries. So cavities in technical terms called caries. So they have a much higher caries index. So that's the same thing we see with runners, right? Runners are mouth breathing. And of course, there is also some amount of dehydration, which will further reduce the amount of saliva that comes into your mouth. Now, saliva is an extremely important cleaning agent. It's a buffering agent, cleaning agent, and it helps to prevent cavities. So if you don't have saliva because of the reasons that I mentioned, you're going to have a higher amount of cavities. Now, let me talk a little bit about how cavities are formed. Now, cavities are formed when carbohydrates are broken down by the bacteria that's already in your mouth. And the bacteria eats the carbohydrates and its byproduct is basically an acid. And that acid then sits on top of your teeth, and especially in the fissures and the rough surfaces of your teeth, and it dissolves that enamel. And as it dissolves that enamel, it further creates a pocket where more bacteria harbor and gives them a safe haven. And that will further create, and it creates a vicious cycle, and the cavity keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Initially, the cavity is just in enamel. At that time, there's usually no pain and sensitivity. As it hits the dentine, which is the second layer, so we have an enamel, we have a more porous dentine, and then we have something called as a nerve of the tooth. Now, as the cavity moves down into the dentine, it starts causing sensitivity and sometimes even pain. And as it gets closer and closer to the nerve, it becomes painful, super painful. And that's when we unfortunately recommend a root canal treatment. So before it reaches the nerve, we can actually just scoop out that cavity. And as you know, it's not self-healing. So we have to pack it in with an artificial material that could be composites or ceramics. And then that can seal that area. So that is how the cavities are formed and how we treat them. And so what happens with the pH? So now as as runners, frequently have these sugars, right? They have the gels, they have the brownies, they have the chocolates. The frequency, the saliva doesn't get time to buffer that away. So the acidic nature is created and the saliva doesn't have time to kind of make it neutral again. So the cavities keep forming. And as you know, the saliva is also reduced because of dehydration and also because of mouth breathing. So these are the risk factors that runners have when it comes to oral hygiene.
I think that's a great analogy that you've spoken about. just like kids who have no control over their sweet tooth. We are the same, right? We may not eat sugars outside of our sport, but during a race, it's all sugars and it's all pretty highly concentrated sugars, right? Gels, energy bars, even the soft drinks that we have. So typically, what are the kind of patterns? Is there a specific or is there an average timeline or something that if you do this for so long, that's when your teeth will start deteriorating? Is there anything like that or does it vary person to person?
Okay, actually, it's like when you're doing something that is, so positive and so good for yourself and there's such a good energy around what you're doing, you tend to think that you can lean into these sugars and things like that and you can be guilt-free. To some extent, that's true. And I can give you a few tips to kind of just not allow that those sugars and carbohydrates to affect your teeth in that way. And answering your question, there is no safe amount of time. So as soon as you have sugars in your mouth, it's going to start acting on your teeth. My recommendation, and I have given this to a lot of my friends, I think we also spoke about this while we were running, is that as soon as you have your gel or your Enisral or any of those sweet products, you need to have a sip of regular water. Swish around the mouth and have a sip of regular water. And I'll tell you what I do. So if I'm going for a super long run, and of course I'm in Delhi, so I get to see the brunt of hot weather. My main bladder, in my hydration pack is never going to have anything but plain water. Okay, the main hydration pack should have only plain water, and then you can have supplemental, highly concentrated Enisral or other products. So you have a few sips, which is highly concentrated, but your hydration is coming from regular water. So your energy is coming from high concentration of these little pouches in the front, but your main hydration is coming from plain water. So this is the optimal way to do hydration. And then, of course, gels are automatically that. So they're just a small pouch and then they're super concentrated. Then you're drinking, but you have to drink water after that. And not just drink water, you have to swish it around and then drink. So, one of the worst things I find it really, even your bladder gets dirty, right? I mean, there's so much sugar in it and that sugar is going to be sitting there. And then how are you going to clean those pipes? So I just find it really, really dirty to put sugary things into the bladder with a pipe because it's super difficult to clean. Those bottles are much easier to clean also. So it's not just your mouth that is getting dirty. It's also the bladder and the pipes and all of that. It just sounds like a better idea.
And it's so simple, right? You just rinse your mouth with water and just drink that, gulp that down, and that's it. And you don't need anything else.
90% of people who are not doing marathon distances every day, this is it. I mean, even in your training, like you are at high risk only if you don't do these simple things. You know, otherwise, running is not doing anything bad to your teeth if you just follow these basic, simple steps.
Yeah. So when I was doing some research online for just figuring out some topics to talk about, points to talk about, I saw some pretty interesting examples of how athletes and even race organizers are. Just paying attention to small things, paying attention to oral health. And surprisingly, so there's a race called the Wasatch 100 in Utah. It's a 100-mile race. One of the aid station lodges over there, the captain of that lodge, he's a dentist. He's a local dentist. And he actually gives away toothbrushes and toothpastes to all the runners who are passing by. And that's a giveaway culture that he has created. That was pretty cool. And also like some pretty high profile athletes and some pretty well-known athletes like Scott Jurek, Carl Meltzer, Sophie Spidel, they all do their own little things, around fueling, people are conscious about what they are eating, right? So some of them prepare their own food items so that doesn't play around with, or that doesn't impact the quality of stuff that's going down their mouth, right? So what else can athletes do other than this, other than gulping down water?
I think it's great that little example that you gave, and I think that if you're doing anything more than, I think, 8 to 10 hours in an event, you should brush your teeth. So after every 8 hours, you should brush it, because 8 hours is, in that kind of mouth breathing atmosphere. I think 8 hours is also like, it's taken a lot, but obviously these kind of events, you really don't do them back to back. So if you're running for more than 8 hours, please find a way to brush your teeth. It does an additional thing, when you use toothpaste, it's usually going to be fluoride toothpaste. So you get a fresh coating of fluoride, which is super protective and super amazing for, those kind of high risk times. So I think that's a great giveaway, and we should try to see more of that in our Indian races also. And the other thing that I can say is, I know that my coach is not going to be happy to hear this, but I would say for 97% of all your runs, they really don't need fueling. I mean, there's so much there's so much science about, fasted runs and all the other good stuff also. It's just kind of lean into that, I know that you want to train with your energy, but keep those for your, month-end races, your solo races or your time trials. Keep it for those things. Don't train with NSRAL. That just seems very counterproductive to me. I know. This is not a very popular opinion, but just keep it for special occasions. It's more fun also. I mean, you're going out for a 10K or a 12K, even in the heat, you don't really need sugar, basically.
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting point that you brought out. But because there is also correlation between having your energy drinks and muscle cramping and things like that, right?
But that's for sugar. You can take sugar. I don't mind sugar. That's for salt. I mean, you can take salt.
Right. Yeah.
But and can I tell you something else? Sorry to you can keep the gels. You can keep the gels with you. You can have options of taking them, because if you're going on a trail run, you don't know if it's going to be 20 or 25 kilometers, because you might have taken a long route. So keep an option. But if it's in your bladder, you have no option.
Okay, got it. So basically, what you're saying is that the primary source of hydration should always be water. You should have options, obviously, because depending on the training demands and what kind of distance you're doing, what time of day, what weather, what's the month of the year and all that. And especially in Delhi, right, in the summers when it's going to cross 45 degrees, you are going to want to have something cool, right? Because the water is also going to get boiling hot inside your bladder. So you might want to have a sip of Coke or whatever. But so what I'm hearing is that it's good to have those options, but not to rely on them, right? And that, yes, I think that actually makes sense, because it's generally good to not be dependent on these things. And it is also helping not deteriorate what's happening in your mouth. So I think it does make, and
you have the option. So you keep the gels, you keep the bottles, use them if you feel like the day is maybe you don't need it that day. I mean, I'm just saying whether the weather might have improved or then gels, and these days you have such convenient ways of taking nutrition. The other thing you can do is you can have put kala namak in your main hydration.
And what about comfort foods like peanut butters and coffee and stuff like that?
So people have this doubt. So coffee and tea without sugar typically is not bad for your teeth. It just stains your teeth. Stains is something that we can take care of, and we have methods to take care of. Stained teeth are not unhealthy teeth. Stains are not unhealthy. Stains are stains. They are just change of color. But if the stain, if you haven't gotten your cleaning done and you have deposits, that's a different issue. And if you're having coffee with a dry mouth and you don't have enough saliva in your mouth, you'll stain a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because again, saliva is a cleaning factor.
Yeah. So it all comes down to how hydrated you are somewhere, right?
how hydrated and also mouth breathing. Actually, it's more mouth breathing because, I mean, if you're carrying all this hydration and your sugars, typically you're not dehydrated, but you're still mouth breathing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I just want to move on to some research. Generally, like what kind of research has happened on this topic? Because I really couldn't find much. Right. I mean, when I say I couldn't find much, I'm saying like compared to, let's say, a topic like nutrition or a topic like what gear to choose, what shoes to wear, etc. There's hardly anything. Probably there were like 3 or 4 actual academic research journals that I could find, and some 6 or 7 articles on Trail Runner magazine outside and all that, right? And what I have understood is that the research on this topic kind of started when there was a study done in the Olympic Village in London in 2012, where they did some sort of a study on elite athletes and their oral health. Wasn't very conclusive, or there wasn't much takeaway on that. Something like 55% showed this, 45% showed that, something like that. But there isn't much that is being spoken about, or any reason why that could be.
Well, it's difficult to study this because any kind of correlation here would be problematic. See, correlation is not causation. So that's yep. something that we have to remember.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing is, now imagine ultra runners or any kind of long distance runners are typically people who like to take care of themselves, you know, in a general sense. I mean, there are, I'm sure, people who abuse their bodies while running also, but I'm not talking about the pathological level of running, but like whatever, most people who run are people who run because they take care of themselves. Now, the study that you're talking about, I've actually gone through that study, and they found that, or was it a different study, but they found that people, that runners or ultra runners actually have better oral health than the general public. That doesn't say anything. That doesn't mean that running improves oral health, right? So that's correlation causation, right? It just means that your cohort of people that you're taking are people who generally take care of themselves. So they generally will have higher standards of health in all different aspects. So there isn't really much to dive into on that. What I can say is, see, why is it relevant to have this conversation? Because it's super easy as a clinician to see these risk factors. Right. It's super easy to see that these things are going to cause problems at an individual level.
Right.
I'm not a researcher, I'm a clinician. So I see these risk factors and I'm like, look, you do this. Yeah. This is literally what they teach us in like college, in like school. Like this is like 1, 2, 3, high risk, high risk, high risk. Yeah. And this is how you prevent them.
Yeah. So do you get a lot of runners who come to visit you?
Yes, last few years I have been.
And is there a similarity, or I mean, other than this, like are there any, you know, things that catch your attention that, okay, you know, these kind of problems or behaviors are also prevalent amongst runners, which are not seen in general public?
I'm going to be very honest. It's very difficult to tell because our cohort is going to be too small to create any kind of correlations. Yeah. What I can say is that, you know, everybody should floss. Everybody should clean in between their teeth.
Yeah.
And runners specifically, because in between the teeth is 60% or 40%, of the surface area of your teeth. And that's where all the deposits are there. And your brushing doesn't clean that.
Right.
So you have to floss. Or alternatively, since we live in, you know, modern times, is a water flosser. It's a product that you can buy on Amazon. It's 3,000-4,000 rupees, and it shoots a jet of water in between your teeth.
Right.
Specifically for runners who are high risk, I would highly recommend that you floss or at least water floss, so that you can clean between your teeth.
Right. Yeah, and I would imagine that especially for trail runners, especially running in a dry and dusty and arid kind of an environment, where, you know, anything can go into your mouth, from dust particles to whatever, maybe even some insects that you get as a free bonus or something. I would say, yeah, for trail runners especially, it's a good idea to floss. Which reminds me, I have a water flosser which I am yet to inaugurate. It's just been it hasn't been unboxed. I think I just unboxed it, but yeah, I have been using the what do you call it,
interdental brush,
the interdental brushes. Yes
yeah. So also an excellent tool. So there's three ways to clean between your teeth. Yeah. One is a floss, one is an interdental brush, yeah, and the third is a water flosser. All right. Three are going to clean between your teeth, and those areas do not get cleaned by your regular brushing. So please remember that. And this is more so important for one thing that we didn't discuss is age,
yeah,
right? This is more so important with older individuals, because right, older individuals are going to have a certain amount of gum recession. So there's a normal aging process where the gum tends to recede. And as it recedes, the space between the teeth gets more and more wider, and it gets more and more harder to clean.
Right.
So this is very recently I had an older person who came to me, who's a runner, you know, and he has a bunch of bone loss and bone disease. I mean, gum disease. So it's so much more important to clean those surfaces, which cannot be cleaned by brushing. Very, very important.
Yeah.
And I know, like, dentists sound like broken records. Floss, 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 floss. But, I mean, it's a huge difference. People who listen to our advice and start flossing, and you see them after 6 months, and you're like, wow. You know. It's like you guys believe in prehab all the time. You guys are like, oh, we should go to the physiotherapist or the sports doctor. Yeah. Even when we don't have any niggles, we should go. That's the best time to go. Yeah. It's the same thing with dentistry,
yeah. You
know? And I wanted to make another point about dentistry. And, you know, people think dentistry is expensive. It is expensive. But routine dentistry is not. Routine dentistry, yeah, especially in India,
yeah,
is not expensive. Your, yeah, regular cleaning, normal fillings, fluoride treatment, just all this stuff is a few thousand rupees in a year.
Right.
And you're, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Cheaper than your Netflix subscription. Yeah. Maybe not, but like, yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Right? Routine dentistry is not expensive.
Yeah. This is a classic example of the age old saying that prevention is better than cure. Right. And it just needs like very, very basic steps that you can take.
Yeah. Like orthopedic surgery is expensive. ACL, yeah, tears are expensive, but prehab is not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. You know? So yeah, that's the same thing with dentistry. Regular dentistry is not expensive.
Yeah, yeah. So I just want to go back to when in the beginning of the conversation you mentioned the kind of severity or risks associated with poor oral health, right? So there was an article on the Colgate website. I don't know if it was in response to any sort of research done or if there was something which they put out as a marketing message, but the kind of risks that they have outlined as resulting from poor gum health, poor oral health, etc. It also includes diabetic complications and rheumatoid arthritis and heart disease, right? And I feel that these are kind of severities that would be of pretty significant interest to ultra runners. So you just want to talk about those? That how does it lead to arthritis? You know, that's something which it's a very difficult connection to make for a
very person. very difficult connection. And it's also arthritis is an autoimmune disease, right? These things are very, very difficult to get into and know that, okay, this is the reason why you're having it. It's just that we know that the people who have gum disease, they are at a higher risk of this. But at an individual level, a patient who's in the, you know, who's having this disease, arthritis or endocarditis is still easier. But let's just say somebody has arthritis. You can't turn around and say this guy didn't get his cleaning done and he has gum disease. That's why he has arthritis. These are just risk associations that are there, you know. So it's not something that there is diagnostic value in. As such, you know. But of course, if you have so much bacteria in your mouth, that is playing havoc into the oral microflora. So, you know, we talk a lot about the gut microflora these days, and one of the bleeding edges of medicine is gut microflora. Similarly, since the oral cavity is a part
of the gut.
So
that's the gut biome that you're talking about, right? That's what it
is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The gut biome, right? And we know how sensitive the gut biome is to, your food, your antibiotics, your anything that you take, and you know what all it does for your body. If it creates, receptors in your brain, neurotransmitters in your brain. It does a whole bunch of other homeostasis activities, basically keeping your body at a certain equilibrium. Similarly, we have the oral environment, right? The oral microflora or the oral microbiome. If you are harboring so much of deposits, I mean, that's going to change that, and it's going to change a lot of things down the chain. And like you said in these studies, there are these links to other systemic complications as well, like endocarditis, like cardiovascular disease, even other things. I think you mentioned a few others. There's respiratory issues.
Right.
There's diabetic comps. So diabetes and periodontal disease is very, very well linked.
Right. Yeah.
And it happens both ways. Diabetics have poor gum health, and people who have poor gum health, there could possibly be a correlation with diabetes as well.
So what's the, you can choose not to answer this, but what's the most severe case that you have seen in runners?
Severe case. So I don't know if it's because they're running, right?
Right.
Is it because they just have poor health, or is it because they're running? Because I have not seen them for last 30 years or 40 years to see exactly or whatever, however old they are, to see that has it changed because of running.
Right.
So these kind of studies need to be done in a very, very large amount of people so that you can remove biases.
Yeah.
And a single clinician cannot give you statistical data on this.
Right.
I think it would be irresponsible to do so.
Yeah. I think of all the research articles that I also went through, I think the maximum sample size was around 400 athletes. And again, that's nothing, right? And these two.
I'll tell you something. Like people come to, so my daily practice is cavities in between teeth. Some of the most common. Like you have cavities in between teeth because people don't floss.
Yeah.
Now, that could be because of nutrition. It could be because they're not brushing their teeth. It could be because of some people actually just have a high caries index because their saliva composition is a little different. Genetics, this, that. There's so many factors that to find a way to isolate that this guy runs so he has more cavities is just not happening. That's not possible to do.
Right.
Maybe
that's the reason why nothing conclusive has come out of whatever research has been done. And
yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why there isn't much research being done in the first place, right? Because like you said, if there are so many contributing factors, you can only draw correlations, right?
That absolutely.
Yeah, 80% of people engaged in full marathon or plus activities were shown to exhibit so and so, right? And that's just a correlation.
And everything else is anecdotal, right? So
right.
When you have to be very careful about anecdotal evidence also. That is not to say, again, I don't want the take-home message to be that runners, I still think, my personal opinion is that all of these things that we talk about, high sugar intake, frequent sugar intake, reduced saliva, reduced quality and quantity of saliva, dehydration, all of these factors are going to increase your baseline caries index. So you are going to be more prone, wherever you are today, it will increase it if you don't limit it and if you don't swish your mouth, as simple as that, after every amount. And in your regular training, don't have to take it.
Yeah. Awesome. So before we close this, I just wanted to put out a question to you. because this was I found it quite catchy because this was the title of one of the articles I went through as part of my research. It's an article on Trail Runner Mag. I'll link it in the show notes also. It just says, "Are endurance athletes really a dentist's worst nightmare?" Right? I think I know the answer, but I'd like to hear it in your words.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. When you hear all these factors, right? You hear all the factors that you see in difficult children. You find that in endurance runners. Of course, you're going to find they are going to be a very difficult client. And the thing is that they think they're doing something healthy while they're doing something unhealthy. So we have to relabel that.
Right.
You know, we have all these fancy goo gels and this and that. So every time you're using, so imagine it's like you bought like a pack of 50 goo gels and you're like, you look at how much I run. I finished all 50 in the last 6 months. So there's something you feel proud of.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's just candy. There is no other way to describe that. It's just candy.
I think that's a great analogy of putting ultra runners and in runners in general being not that different from babies, because we are, right?
You give a four-year-old a goo gel, see how much he or she loves it.
Because end of the day we are all going back to our childish instincts, right? And that's why we love to run and love to be outdoors and all that. Yeah. And speaking You have an ultra runner in the making in your family. You just recently became a father, so you have an ultra runner in the making.
I look forward to it. I want to first run an ultra distance myself. As you know, I have had a pretty major setback to my running because of my injury, but I continue to do a basic amount of mileage in a week. So. Yeah. Just happy to do that for now.
But it's good to see you back. It's good to see you back on the roads. And you've been missing from the trails for a bit. But I understand.
Your timings don't suit my parenthood.
Yes. Yeah. We'll change that. If you're okay running in the heat in the middle of Asola Bhatti in the summers,
I'll come.
Happy to change that for you.
I'll come. I was having some nanny related issues. So I need to get that sorted before I can come for the 6 a.m. runs.
No, that's absolutely understood. Awesome, Air. So this was I think this turned into a pretty awesome, amazing and fun conversation. And I think just to summarize, I mean, the top takeaways I would just say is that it's very simple, right? Just make sure you're drinking enough water so that you're not letting the sugars accumulate, basically. And it essentially just comes down to that. And just generally maintain a good oral hygiene practice, which is brush your teeth properly, floss your teeth, and just make sure nothing is stuck there, right? I think doesn't get any simpler than that, right?
And I'll add one more thing. When you're taking sugary nutrients, take them in larger quantities at lesser frequency. Okay, that again comes back to the point of having it in your pocket, the more concentration. So if more concentration means that each sip you are having more sugar,
right?
But you'll end up having less sugar overall. If you put it in your bladder, you're going to have more frequent, and the pH drop will be continuous throughout your 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour run. So that is significantly worse. Like, it is a massive difference. Like that little small, what you said, that little small change makes a massive impact.
Right.
Imagine like if in a 4 hour run, you have four large sips four gels or three gels, you're done.
Yeah.
That is far better than sipping every kilometer with Enazol. That is a fact. I don't think any dentist will disagree with what I just said. That's a massive difference.
I think it gets a bit boring also after a while, right? That taste also, when you're running very long distances, it just gets monotonous also. So you feel like having water, and you never get bored of water, so I think mentally also it's a much better practice than sipping every 1 kilometer or 2 kilometers, sipping on sugars, I mean.
Unfortunately, a lot of people disagree with you. So that's the thing, right? You use your sweet tooth, you justify your sweet tooth over a run. If you have a sweet tooth but you're doing it while you're running, so it's fine.
yeah. things that we tell ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, awesome. You want to just leave a message for anyone who wants to find you, anyone who wants to just schedule a session with you or something? Where do you practice?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. So I practice in Defense Colony in New Delhi. We have a private practice there. And I am actually a specialist in cosmetic dentistry along with the other things that I do. So, and of course, I love having runners over in my clinic. As you know, many of you guys are, you know, including you, Kshitij.
Yes. That's so. That's a rather embarrassing story of how I landed up at your clinic. Maybe I'll do a podcast on that. Spoiler alert, it wasn't while running. It wasn't while, you know, tumbling down a cliff or anything. It was a bathroom fall, which resulted in 3 broken teeth. And I went to Kalra Dental Clinic and Dr. Manav took really good care of my teeth. So where do you, we can find you on Instagram. We can find
yes,
you.
Yes, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on Google Business. You can just type in Dr. Manav Kalra, Defense Colony or Delhi. You'll find me. And just drop a text to the clinic and we can set you up with your preventive running appointment.
Great. So I will list out all the links in this in the show notes for this episode. Thanks a lot, Dr. Manav. And this was an amazing and a fun conversation. To be honest, I was nervous before we started because I knew nothing about this topic, but I think this went really well.
I loved it. This is, you know, so I speak for a living to other dentists, like I teach them and we talk and we do all these things, but this is the first time I'm in a, you know, platform where I'm speaking to non-dentists and runners. So interesting.
Yeah. All right. On that note, see you later. Good night.
Thank you.
That was all for this episode of Tracking Dirt. Thanks for making it to the finish line. If you found the content helpful, do follow us. You'll find our social links in the show notes. If you know people who will find this content useful, do spread the word and share our episodes with them. If you're feeling generous and have a bit of time, do leave us a review on any of your preferred listening platforms. Lastly, if you have any feedback or ideas to share with us, or if you'd like us to cover a specific topic, or if you'd like to be featured on the show, send us an email on talks@capitaltrails.in. Once again, all the details will be added to the show notes. Till we meet again, happy trails.